Hi, this is Brian Timoney, and welcome to this audio seminar on building a believable character. Now, that is a very big remit, if I do say so myself. However, what I'd like to do today is really simplify that process for you and give you seven key areas that I fundamentally believe that you have to be looking at when you start to build a character. Now, one of the first things I always notice about actors when they approach characterizations or scenes or plays is that invariably they always want to play the finished product immediately. You know, from day one, the first time you get up to do a scene or start to investigate a character, they want to complete the whole thing immediately. Now, a couple of things happens from doing that. The first thing is the actor puts himself under a huge amount of pressure to produce something immediately, which isn't really feasible. In fact, it's complete fantasy. There has to be a process whereby the actor goes through and investigates different aspects of the character and different aspects of the scene before they produce the finished product. Let me give you an example. Apparently, the great artist Rembrandt, he used to sketch out 100 to 150 pencil drawings before he would actually pick up his paintbrush and put that to canvas. Now, that shows you that he actually went through a very long process in some occasions before he got to the point that he was happy with his finished product. So, if you've ever been in my class, you will know that I'm very big on this area of investigation. And what I recommend to actors is that they pick one area at a time in which they're going to investigate. So, let's look at the seven areas of investigation. Number one, character background. Now, I can't stress this strongly enough. Knowing the background of the character in intricate detail is so, so important. Let me put it this way. If somebody was going to play you as a character in a play or a film, how well would you want the actor who is playing you to know you? I mean, let's face it, you'd want them to know you in intricate detail, absolutely everything about you from day one. So the same applies to you when you're picking up characters. You have an obligation to that character to make sure that you have a full knowledge of where they came from, what their upbringing was like, their likes, their dislikes, etc. So let me give you an example of how far some method actors will take this. Robert De Niro was once quoted as saying that when he's investigating a character, he said he'll wake up in the morning, he says, and he'll go through his usual routine of making a cup of coffee. However, instead of making the cup of coffee the way that he would normally make it, he'll say, well, how would my character make a cup of coffee? So this shows you the level of detail that good actors will go to within their characterization. So it's really important that you look at the character background in detail. In fact, when I direct productions, I always ask the cast to write at least four sides of A4 on the background of their character, because I know this information will really help them to fuel their instincts within the production. So character background, very important. Number two is the internal life of the character. Now, the internal life of the character is really what the experience of the character is on a moment-to-moment level. And if we're looking as actors to reveal the experience of the character and to reveal it in a much deeper level than just being able to indicate that the character may be angry or sad, for example, what we want to do is actually to relive that type of experience within ourselves. So within the method, what we do is that we start to use experiences from our own lives and background and relive them using our senses. That is, your smell, taste, touch, sound, and visual of different people and events from your own experience that might stimulate a similar experience to that of the character. Now let me give you another example. Apparently, in the film The Deer Hunter, Christopher Walken was asked in the last scene where he plays Russian roulette with himself, and ultimately, sadly, he kills himself. Now, that is an experience that he's highly unlikely ever to experience in his life. So they said, what were you thinking about when you actually played that scene? And he said, well, he said, when I was younger, much younger, he said, I used to go to summer camp, and my parents used to make me go to summer camp, and he said, I hated it. He said, I hated them for allowing me to go, or making me go. He said, I felt betrayed, ostracized, lonely, etc. And he said, I realized that the character that I was playing at that moment was experiencing similar feelings. So it made sense to Christopher Walken to use that personal experience to fuel the experience of his character. And what he did was he would use that experience and infuse it with the imaginary circumstances that he was in. So the internal life of the character is very important, and it's important that we actually approach it on a much deeper level than just trying to indicate what a character may be going through. What I generally notice in classes is that actors tend to understand on a logical surface level what the character is experiencing, but it's much more difficult to re-experience that for real again, so that you can actually begin to reveal much deeper and a much fuller way what the character is going through. And the term that we use to this type of work is sense and emotional memory. So basically, it's important that when you do this type of work of reliving events or situations, is that you really get to do it in intricate detail again. There's that, those two magic words, intricate detail. So as you begin work on reliving a particular event situation, you really want to be looking at the smell, the taste, the touch, the sound of that event in lots of detail. You'll be amazed at how much you begin to remember, in fact. So it's not just a casual glance, but you want to go through, what was the smell of the room like? What was I wearing? What was the material of the clothes that I wore? Now, it might sound a bit pedantic, but actually what it reveals is that we experience life through our senses. And rather than just trying to recreate a feeling inside of ourselves or running after the emotion of the event, which, by the way, will run twice as fast as you can try and catch it, the best way to actually begin to tease it out of your instrument, which is you, is to relive it through the senses. I recently saw a program called Shrink Wrap with Pamela Connolly interviewing David Blunkett. And it was quite an interesting interview, because at one point she was talking to him about the death of his father, and he'd obviously dealt with that and resolved it, and it wasn't a big issue for him anymore as it was at that time. However, in an effort to try and get him to relive what it felt like at that moment, she asked a very interesting question. She said to him, "What did the room smell like, David, where your father passed away?" And this instantly changed his demeanor. It instantly changed the way that he began to interact. It stopped him in his tracks for a second. And basically what happened was, and very cleverly on her part, was that she was trying to get him to relive it. So therefore she thought, let's use a sense memory. Let's see if he can recall it through the senses. And of course, David Blunkett being blind, she knew that the strongest sense would be his smell, perhaps. So sense memory and emotional memory, a great way of producing the internal life of the character. Now, number three is an extension of that type of work, and it's called personalizations. So number three is personalizations. This is when we use somebody from our own life and we superimpose them onto the actor that we're working with. And the reason that we do this is to stimulate a belief in the relationship that we're having within the characters. So for example, if you're in a scene where you're playing a boyfriend, girlfriend, and however you've just met each other for the first time as you go to shoot a film on set, then how are you going to be able to stimulate the belief that actually you've had a long and intimate relationship with this person? Well, one of the best ways of doing it is actually to use somebody from your own experience whom you have had that type of relationship with and superimpose them onto the actor that you're working with. Now, this really stimulates your belief and makes it much, much easier for you to start to interact in the way that you should interact in dealing with the characters. So number three is personalizations. Number four is the given circumstances. Now, the given circumstances of a scene or a play or a film is basically the circumstances in which the events occur, and there's certain fixed given circumstances. For example, if a character is pregnant in a scene, then that is a fixed given circumstance. They are definitely pregnant. If it's set in a lot of heat, then it's definitely a hot day, and that has to be considered. For example, a lot of these fixed given circumstances are actually put in there by the writer deliberately. For example, Tennessee Williams, he wrote a lot of his plays in a lot of heat and with strong southern accents. That is no mistake. He basically knew that setting things in a lot of heat would make the characters interact in a certain way. It would cause a change in their behaviour ultimately. So it's really important that you look at the given circumstances, because it's very often missed, but it's very, very important to be played within the structure of scenes and plays. Talking of structure, number five is rhythm and structure. Rhythm and structure exists within all plays and films. Each character will have a rhythm, and each scene will have a rhythm, and they'll also have structures. Now, when you've investigated many different ways, what you will want to do with scenes and with plays is to set down the structure. And this really means that I'm going to move to point A and say this line, and then move to point B and say the next line, and then move upstage and pick up this cup. Now, that is very technical. It might not seem very inspired. However, it is a necessary part of the work. And we have to work within that structure and still become inspired on cue. And that's really where the sense memory comes into play, really. However, within the structure, we still need to adhere to it and we still need to follow it through, particularly when we're in the situation of being directed. The director will just want you to move where they want you to move, perhaps. If you're lucky enough and you have a really good director, it'll be more organic than that. However, you may not have that luxury. Okay, number 6, external characterization. Okay, this is a very important area also. In fact, they're all important areas. External characterization. So this is really how the character walks and how they talk. So we really need to look at ways of generating physicality completely different from our own. Now, one of the great exercises within the method to help do this is the animal exercise. And you'll have been able to see a lot of method actors use this exercise within productions. So if you look at Marlon Brando, he used it in The Godfather and in Streetcar Named Desire. If you look at Dustin Hoffman, he used it in Midnight Cowboy. I believe he played some sort of weasel or rat. And it's a fantastic way of generating a physicality that is completely different from your own. However, you still have a basis to work from that allows you to believe in it. Now, I'm a great believer in belief, and what I mean by that is stimulating the belief in actors, because I know as an actor, one of the most important thing is that you want to believe in what you're doing on stage. Now, if you don't believe in what you're doing, then nobody else is going to believe it either. So working with this type of exercise, you still have something to believe in, i.e. you have seen the animal. You understand how they move and how they do things. And therefore, incorporating that into human form and incorporating it into a character will give you a way of generating this brand new physicality, however, still allowing you to believe in it as well. So the way that we do the animal exercise is that you have to study the animal again in intricate detail and watch how they move. Also study the psychology of the animal. For example, a rhino gets a reputation for being very bad-tempered. However, they're not actually bad-tempered. What they are is short-sighted. So if an animal attacks from a distance or is just arriving from a distance, the rhino gets panicked because it can't really see it properly and it wants to defend itself, so it attacks first. So it gets this reputation for being short-tempered, but it's more to do with it being short-sighted. Now the fact is, if you incorporated that into a character, that would be a very interesting character trait to build in. So it's really important to look at the psychological elements as well. But the first thing is, go to the zoo. Have a look at the animal, look at the animal in the eye, really study the physicality in detail, how they move, get down on all fours and reproduce their physicality again in the privacy of your own home, of course. And then once you've got au fait with that enough, you then stand up and begin to physicalize it into human form. And then you start to play around with it within your characterizations. So external characterization, the animal exercise, is a great way of stimulating this external physicality. Number 7, last but by no means least, is needs. The character's needs. This is so, so important again. I mean, if you look at yourself, what is it that drives your behavior? What is it that drives you to do things? And it's really to do with the fact that you need things. And if you look at characters, they are absolutely no different. In fact, in some ways, the writers highlighted their needs to make it more dynamic. So what you have to do is work out what the character wants and needs in the overall production, and then work out what they need from a scene-to-scene point of view. Now, let me give you an example. In the play A Cat in a Hot Tin Roof, the character of Maggie is obsessed with security. She wants financial security. That's her overriding life aim. And in each of the scenes within Cat in a Hot Tin Roof, she is always trying to move towards that final aim. Whether she gets it or not is another question. But each scene, that is what she's trying to get. And that is so important from the point of view of an actor. And it also allows you to get past the realms of getting too caught up with some of the emotional work, which is also important, but it allows you to take action. And of course, just the mere word actor, you can see that the word itself means action, to act upon. And if you understand the needs of the character, that will allow you to act much, much easier and much, much more impulsively. So you have to understand what the character needs. So those are the seven areas that I think are very important when you start to investigate a character or indeed a scene. And, you know, I really suggest that you go through those 7 points, look at them in detail, and, you know, begin the process of investigating your characters. Thank you very much, and I look forward to seeing you soon.